Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. Welcome to the show. How's it going out there, everyone? Thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited to talk to you today. Getting so many messages from people who listen to the show saying that they look forward to it every day, and it just means so much to me. So I hope you're in a good mood that the show has just begun. We got a good one for you today. We're going to do a Reddit dump later. I got some good stuff to show you. We're going to go over that video that is that we talked about yesterday that I discovered over the weekend that I think should be, you know, mandatory viewing for the world to make the world a better place. Sometimes you need to be reminded that that you need to go the extra mile to, or just like step out of your comfort zone to help others, and that helping others feels so damn good. That was like the biggest realization to me in getting into kind of recovery language and like learning stuff in those kind of, from those people that have been, you know, 12-step-y type stuff, is that when you do good for others and step outside yourself, it makes you feel better and less depressed and less anxious. And I just, that always just seemed like something to me that's like, people just say that, so it encourages people to do more good. But it really does, because it's not so much about the act of doing good and being like, oh, I'm such a good person, I feel better. It's more just, it makes you forget that it makes you forget about your worries. So it's hard to remember, though, man, when you're having a bad day or really in your own stuff of like, my life is just falling apart. It's hard to pick up the phone or pick up some trash or pick up dog shit that your dog didn't make, or just do something that is completely selfless. But there's nothing worse. I really hate picking up cold dog shit, worse than warm dog shit, because sometimes I do that where you know, Luigi will poop. I'll forget a bag. There's no leaves around. There's no, you know, sometimes I just throw mulch on it and then cover it in mulch and then pick it up with the mulch, like a big scoop of mulch, so I don't touch it. But there's nothing like that. So the other day I did like use a stick and I only got half of it. And I was like, I had to leave half his shit there. And I was like, okay, so tomorrow I'm going to pick up someone else's shit. And boy, that's just not, as much as warm, gooey shit is gross, I've always said it, it's a little hand warmer, and I don't mind it. I just don't mind it. And I really don't like picking up, like, hardened old dog poop. Like, I, even though that's, like, should be preferable. And aren't rocks, aren't a lot of, like, rocks dinosaur poop or something like that? I always remember being like, ew, it's dino poop. I always remember Laura Dern in Jurassic Park, like, digging in that big pile of shit. Being like, she's sick or whatever. I don't know. Noah, have you seen Jurassic Park?
I have seen Jurassic Park a while ago.
Did you like it?
I mean, as a kid, I liked it. I don't know if I could suspend disbelief as an adult.
Mm. Yeah, I think you could, because that's the whole point of it, is that they like walk you through the science of like how it could be. You know, it's not just like it's. I feel like it presents a scenario where you're like, well, I guess that could happen. I was just, I guess it came out in 93. I want to say I'm pretty good about dates of the 90s. And
I bet you're right about it. Hold on. I'm going to check.
I was just like blown away by the like how visually impressive it was. I remember the scene where Laura Dern and they're seeing the dinosaurs for the first time and they're in that like, you know, doorless Jeep or whatever. Is 93?
Wow, I don't know how you do this. It is exactly 1993.
We should do more 90s, early 2000s trivia, songs, any pop culture, and I'll get you real close.
That's amazing.
I think that one I know just because it was like Jurassic Park is such a huge deal cinematically, or like, and I was a big, I like loved movies back in the day. I was voted most likely to be Siskel and Ebert by my eighth grade superlative, and I was like, which one? You know. But I guess just both. But I just remember being like, I don't know, movies used to like stay with me, dude. Like they used to just, for days, I would just go to bed and I would daydream about like how magnificent it was and I couldn't wait for it to come out on VHS. And I was moved by Jurassic Park, Lion King. But the scene in Jurassic Park that stays with me more than any is the brontosauruses feeding, and when they see them first and they like go and they lift up on their hind legs to like get the top of the tree. I think I liked that scene because I knew nothing bad was going to happen because the music is like, it was just like safe music where you're like, okay, I'm music. And whenever you're like worried in a movie, it's because the music, it's not about anything else generally. Like music really gets you. I didn't even know, I don't notice it so much of the time because it's so deliberately, but like, you know, subconsciously tells you how to feel so much of the time. But yeah, I was like, I was just blown away. And, you know, she gets out of the car and she like takes off her sunglasses like slowly. And it's just like, that's like one of my favorite scenes when she takes off her sunglasses in amazement. That's how I felt watching that scene. And I was obsessed. I was just like, I can't believe, like, it looked so real. It still holds up too. Like, that's the thing about Jurassic Park that's cool. The CGI, like, actually would, I think it'd be pretty impressive even now. And then The Lion King, I just like, all again, the magnitude of the animals. Like I remember there was some big stomping animal and Simba's like dodging it as he's singing. And I just was like, oh my God, they're so big. Like, I don't know. There's something about big things that really blow my mind. I was obsessed with blue whales. And 9/11, like the magnitude of 9/11, like the bigness of 9/11. Like I was listening to a Sam Harris podcast about it. Like Andrew doesn't like know anything about, like not that he doesn't know anything about 9/11, but he doesn't like, I just don't understand people that aren't like obsessed with 9/11. Like it is the most insane thing that has ever happened. We've never seen a 747 crash before, like into something. There's no like footage of that ever. That's why everyone thought it was like a Cessna. No one had seen a passenger jet fly into something. And the importance really of the second jet was like, that's when we knew the second plane was when everything really fucking went off the rails, because that's when it was a deliberate thing. Most everyone else thought it was like an accident at first. That's why everyone goes, why didn't they evacuate the, you know, whatever tower was hit second. I don't know. Like, I know so many things about 9/11 except the tower directions, because I'm bad with directions. But the second tower, the second tower to be hit, none of those people evacuated. Like, so many didn't evacuate because they just thought it was an accident. And Andrew last night was like, why wouldn't you evacuate? It's like, because why would you think you're going to, like, just because your twin gets hit by a car, why would you think that you're going to get hit by a car accidentally? You know, that's the same kind of logic. And I think in hindsight, so much of us can be like, I would have done this. It's like, you don't know what you would do. You don't know what you would do. Grief is fascinating. And I've been really lucky to not have, like, a lot of loss in my life. But, you know, we all will. And it's interesting. There was a psychologist or psychiatrist or something that was talking about how when a family loses someone and they all have to help each other, there's a mountain of grief and they all are at the top, and it's like there's a blizzard and they are out of food and they all have to, like, get down the mountain in their own way. They can't really help each other. Like, they have to, if you help someone else, you're not going to help yourself. Like, you might help someone, oh, cross this crevasse, whatever a word is that's up on the mountain. But then you're still on the other side of it. And maybe you've helped them, but you're not. Everyone's on their own, kind of. And that's why you got to get outside help that people aren't grieving. But then this woman that did the article presented that kind of analogy to another person that works a lot in grief. And she said, what do you think about this mountain analogy that everyone has to get down on their own? And she said, or everyone gets down on their own time, you know? And the woman goes, that's not true, because the truth of the matter is many people don't make it down the mountain. Like, some people just die of grief. Like, it stays with them forever. And it made me so sad. And it made me think about that video I watched the other day of the dog crying because its dead dog friend was there. And it would, like, didn't, like, animals grieving, and then reading about how if you put down an animal, you should bring it back home for your other animals to see, so that they understand that it's gone and that it's not just, like, hiding. Because there was this Reddit thread of this dog crying about a dead dog. And I thought I talked about it on the podcast, but I just realized I was talking about it with friends. And in the comments, they were like, you know, animals need to see what the animal's going through in this video is, like, necessary, because otherwise they just don't know what happened to the animal and they don't understand it died. They need to, like, see the body. And as, you know, as impossible as that might be sometimes to, like, bring a dead animal home, like, there's something, like, there were stories that people were sharing of, like, my dog couldn't even walk, you know, at the end of its life, but it was still, like, crawling around looking for the dog, its dog friend that, you know, that we had to put down 5 years before. It, like, never gave up looking. It was like, oh my God. Yeah. So I don't know, man, I've had a couple losses in my life that were like, that I just didn't want to feel, because I was just like, it's just, I don't deserve to feel it. It's, I didn't know that person well enough. That would be ridiculous to cry that hard over someone. But you know, when the feelings come up now, I just put on a good sad song and work through them. Like we talked about yesterday, getting high off your own supply. Noah, you reached out to me later. You liked that.
Yeah.
You said to me,
I couldn't relate to it.
You couldn't relate to it. Tell me about that.
So I'm not a person who doesn't feel my feelings. I just don't talk about them. So I don't know what it's like to not feel them. And I was very curious about that. And I was curious to learn more about how, you know, I guess how you go through it now.
Yeah, I don't even know, because it's almost like I don't know what they feel like, because that's trying to, like, a blind person trying to explain color. Like, I don't know what I'm not doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what I'm not feeling. Like, I know what sadness is, and I know what, like, heartbreak or guilt or I know the feeling of wanting something I can't have or being sorry for myself, but those are always overcome by the feeling of shame of, like, you shouldn't be feeling this way.
Okay.
So, like,
so it's,
you know,
like,
when people tell
stop.
Me that they cry,
so
how do you feel your feelings? If you don't talk about them, how do you feel them? Like, what does it look like for you? Let's say if you're sad or like feeling, let's say sad.
If I'm sad, I just kind of go through it. If I need to cry, I'll cry now.
Do you cry alone or do you need to like talk to someone about it to cry? Like what will, it'll just come out.
Yeah. I'm trying to get better at talking about it because I know that it could help, but I usually just try to go through it alone.
Do you go in like a room alone? Do you go in the bathroom? Do you go in the shower? Like what does it look like when you go cry alone in your car?
Car is a good place. Bathroom is a good place. As a kid, I used to cry in the bathroom a lot just because it was a way to just have privacy.
Do you cry like in silence? Do you need a song to get you there? Like I really do feel like I need, you just like think about it. You just think about the thing that's making you sad and like go into it.
Yeah. I think like the most recent example was just like mourning the loss of my dog. So I'll just, okay. You know, like I used to just say, all right, well, it's time to move on. Just don't allow yourself to cry. Just stop looking at the pictures or like avoid looking at the pictures. But I won't avoid it now. I'll just look at them. And if I get that gulp and it's like, okay, I'm about to cry, I just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can do that sometimes. I don't know. I think I have to like talk about it and I can't talk to alone.
Okay.
So, it always has to be with someone to talk about it that will get me to cry. But then as soon as I start getting verklempt, I feel bad that the person has to like witness this and like suddenly come to my rescue or like get the, like they're like, oh my God, she's crying. Oh, what do I do? Like there's like some kind of panic in them of either I don't want to be here. I mean, I've talked about this before. Either they don't want to be there or they like have to now stay longer and comfort me. And I just don't want anyone to do, it's like, you know, like looking at someone on stage, they have to laugh. And I just don't want to earn people's sympathy by, you know, I feel like it's a trick to get love and like, or to get attention. Like, I feel like even though it's not a trick, it's like, that's a sign that you need extra care from your friends and loved ones. Like, what's wrong with that? I don't know, because I don't want to be a burden.
Even if it's a close friend and in that conversation, they're very welcoming of you just saying or doing whatever you need to do to feel better. Do you remember when you called me and you cried for a reason that we won't say? Did that help you feel better going through that sadness and just?
Yes. Yes. I think that, it always feels better afterwards. It feels like, you know, after you calm, like, it's just like, for me at least, after I just feel like, oh, I can go to sleep now. And it like, you get over it. But like, you know, that was when I was in Cayman, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. And before I reached out to you, I tried to talk to Andrew. Andrew really wasn't having it. He just couldn't. I think he started biting his nails like as I was getting anxious and I was like, I can't, he doesn't want to be here for this. And then I tried to call Robin and because she was more privy to the situation that was happening around that and she was busy. And then I was just like, Noah's always there for me. She is like such a calming force. I know that I haven't felt too much of a burden to her lately. So I called you. And that was really helpful. And I didn't feel bad, you know, but like in Tulum when we were all about to go to dinner on our last night and I was just having a bad moment and I needed to cry. Everyone like came to my room, but everyone was like hungry, want to go to dinner. Everyone's like dressed up and cute. And I'm just like, it just felt like, God, shut up. Everyone wants to go. But I just kind of didn't care because it was so painful that I was so selfish. You know, like sometimes my pain makes me selfish that I don't care.
Yes. So I'm wondering, in this new getting high off your own supply, are you going to try to go through those feelings without calling someone and testing to see if you could do it on your own?
Yes. Yeah, like yesterday I was driving to my sister's house to go get my dogs and the air conditioning on from my mom's car was like, sometimes wind makes my eyes water. And it was like lube, you know, like a synthetic thing you bring into the bedroom to emulate, mm-hmm. to to be like what your wetness should be. So you feel like that can't make me wet, but sometimes lube does make you wet because it's like, oh, it shows me what that feels like in my eyes or in my vagina to be wet. And then it reminds my vagina like, oh, make more of this. So it's not even porn. It's like it's actually bringing something synthetic in to cause the tears. And honestly, that gets me there because I'll be like, I'm already crying. And then I put on a sad song. And then I just like cried. And I didn't even know what I was crying about. I was just like, there were just feelings coming up. And I just like, I faked it. I tried to fake crying until it would happen. And a little bit came out. But then I was like, oh no, if I show up there and like my eyes are teary, my mom's going to be like, What are you crying about? And I'll go, oh, I'm just sad because I'm going through like someone in my life disappointed me and I had hope about this person and now I feel like the hope is gone and I'm just sad about a boy. And she'll be like, oh God, this is just, I don't, like she won't be like, you're ridiculous for feeling sad. She'll just be like, ugh. And then they won't ask me about it and I'll just feel like mad that they didn't ask me about it, you know, that kind of thing. So I just wanted to like clear up my face. I didn't want my face to be puffy and red to be in front of my parents, not because they would have shamed me about it, but because they wouldn't have done what I wanted, which is like ask me about it and like talk about it. Because it just makes them too uncomfortable for me to have feelings. And I think that's probably why I get nervous when people get anxious when I cry, is because my parents probably didn't know what to do with me when I cried, because it just seems like, what the fuck do you do? And then it was so cute because Poppy was crying. My niece, we went over there and she was doing this thing where she was holding onto the side of the couch and just jumping up and down like it was a trampoline. But she jumped too far and she went over and her head like fell on the table next to the couch. Aww. And then she toppled over and knocked over a lamp. She was totally safe, but it's our reaction scared her. And then, you know, my mom's just like, that's why you don't jump on the couch, Poppy, you don't jump. And I was just like, and then she came over to me because I was just like, everyone was just, she was getting upset because she was embarrassed, but she didn't know how to really, because she was having so much fun. And then she was embarrassed because it just got out of hand, you know, like she tripped almost. And that feeling of like being sad because you're so embarrassed. And then she came over to me because I was just kind of like not saying anything and just going like, and she came over to me and I go, I've bumped my head so many times on things. It's just, you're trying to have fun and then you bump your head. And she just like fell in my arms and like just like wanted to lay there because I wasn't pitying her. I was just like relating and I was like, it sucks. Oh no. And it was just, it's nice to give that back, the thing that I want so badly. And maybe Poppy will be there for me someday when I need to cry, because she's learned from me and from my sister, who's said beautiful examples of never making their kids feel bad about anything they cry about. Which I don't know where they got that from. Let's bring in someone I'm not comfortable crying in front of. Andrew!
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Danielle. Hey, we got a package from a fan. I don't know how they got our address. We got, yeah, I thought it might be. Well, I opened it up because I thought it was, it wasn't labeled. Like, sometimes when I get a package that has no, or a obscure return address that just seems like a shipping center, I think it's a sex toy because everything is shipped discreetly from these companies, you know?
Yeah.
And I have a lot of stuff coming. From
Nikki's going to get the package. She's coming back. She's sitting back down.
I just got a bunch. So I made an order on Balesa, which is this company that has given me a lot of free stuff in the past. And Balesa is, they call themselves the Netflix of porn, but it's all like female produced porn. And I love it. I do a subscription to their site. But they also have a sex store or like sex toy shop. And they've reached out to me. I've done their podcast called Balls Deep, which is so funny. These two girls, hilarious comics, host it. But anyway, they've given me so much free stuff over the years, and I've done a poor job of promoting them. So the other day I placed an order, and I knew that they would give me it for free, but I just was like, they deserve my money. So I spent like $400, $500 on new stuff. And this bitch that runs the company, and I say that with love, wrote me and goes, no, 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 your money's not good here. Like, she saw the order come through and was like, no. So she sent me it all for free. It was so nice. So shout out to Balesa and their, I'll let
like
you know
their
the kind
packaging.
Of
it looks like how I
this
would...
isn't Balesa.
Oh.
I thought it was.
I was like looking at that. I was like, that's how I wrap presents on Hanukkah.
Just so, yeah, cardboard terribly. Box arrived. Yeah. This is from one of our besties, actually. And I just wanted to share it with you. They sent, this is a pot holder that they sent, okay? Aww. And it says, there's a quote on it. It says, what does it say, Andrew?
You could pull the rack out and make it easier. Oh, you son of a bitch.
That's awesome.
This is based on the pizza Wait. Incident with me and Andrew. It says on it, you could pull the rack out and make it easier. And the eyes are dotted with hearts. Love it. And then we got another pot holder.
Oh, my God.
That says...
I'll get it.
I'll get it. Which is Andrew's response.
We should hold these up like a game, you know?
Yes. And then we got, I got an air freshener that says, do-it-yourself air freshener, add your favorite perfume, cologne, or essential oils. And it has a picture of Taylor Swift on it. And then on the other side, it's the picture of Marion that looks exactly like the Taylor Swift picture.
Oh, these are so thoughtful, man.
And then look at all these shirts she made me. She made me Taylor Swift shirts. This is one of a poster I have in my bedroom.
Wow. It's tie-dye.
She did another one.
Tie-dye
pink. There's another one of her on the Red Tour. And then another one. I mean, I'm going to wear these all on the podcast when we have the video up. Another one of her, the Lover concert that she did. She made a Kuh shirt. Kuh. There's a shirt that says Kuh on it, and then a tank top that says Kuh on it. Oh, no, this one is good. She did a Simone Biles quitting. And it says, it's Simone Biles looking serious and like over it. It says quitting when you have the courage to put your needs over your ego.
And here thought this might be a Unabomber situation.
And then a Taylor Swift mug that she got me. I mean, he or she or they. Let me read the note. It says, thank you so much for, Nikki, first, thank you so much for everything you do. I've been a bestie since You Up. You are part of my morning ritual and I listen to you while I get ready for work. When You Up ended, I was truly devastated and missed you so much. Aww. I'm so glad you're back. You are more than a podcast to me and I think you are just perfectly unperfect and I wouldn't want you any other way. Sometimes I write you on IG knowing you won't even see it, but it's more of a diary for me. I love that. Screw all the haters. You should be proud of who you are because we are. Never stop being you, please. Good days, bad days. I want it all. I'm sorry I didn't know your size, so there's a variation in here. But hey, everyone needs some big PJ shirts, right? LOL. Your favorite bestie, Sky Taylor Douglas. Thank you so much, Sky Taylor Douglas, for these.
I like that name. It's
amazing,
like a
presents.
Founding father name.
Yeah.
Any three name like that, I really love.
Yeah. Well, you're Andrew Todd, Colin.
Andrew Todd. I hate the name. I was almost named Todd, and that.
Todd's a definite like Chad name.
Yeah, it's not good. I met one guy from the
Todd
Midwest.
Short for?
And he's like,
Todrick?
Toddler.
Maybe it would fit you then. Yeah. You're such a Todd.
Well, call me by my full name if you're going to say it.
Andrew Toddler Colin is so funny that you were named after
Toddler IV. I met a guy from the Midwest one time. He goes, your middle name's Tad? I'm Tad. I'm like, no, it's Todd.
Yeah.
He goes, no, yeah, I'm Tad. So
oh,
in the Midwest,
Tad.
They say Tad.
Yeah, we say Highway Farty Far instead
what?
Of 44. Highway Farty. That's like the St. Louis thing. There's two St. Louis things.
Okay, what is it?
Where'd you go to high school? That's
yeah.
so that we
okay,
all...
Okay, let's go through these high schools and what does it mean? Like, top three high schools in St. Louis, and what does it mean about you? And which one did you go to?
I went to Kirkwood. That means, man, your parents are probably liberal, and you're not religious, and you probably don't have... You're not extremely wealthy, but you could be... You could, like, upper middle class.
Okay.
If you're a white person that went to Kirkwood.
I like rich people that send their kids to public
honestly.
Schools. Like, they're going to learn the real world.
Yeah, right. I mean, I loved my... Thank God I didn't go to a private school. Who knows? I would have had a good experience anywhere.
What's the number one school you could say you're from that you went to in St. Louis where everyone's like, ooh?
For girls, like, Villa, Viz, MICDS. That's like you... your parents have a lot of money. Because it costs a lot of money to go there.
I guess,
you know?
I guess it's a thing of conversation because people stay in St. Louis. It's like a big city that
I don't understand why everyone doesn't do that. Because for me, I always thought it was about, do you know people I know? Like, who do we both know in common? Because obviously you know people you went to high school with. And it's very segregated by high school. Like, you don't hang out with people at other high schools. Like, there's people I'm meeting now who lived blocks away from me, but I would have never known them because they went to private school and I went to public school. We didn't commingle.
Maybe a lot of people move back to St. Louis or just don't leave St. Louis. It's like if I stayed in my small town of Vero, it'd be like, did you go to the public school or the private school? But
no, you guys don't do that.
A million, if you stayed there, if you lived there.
I've been to towns and people don't, whenever I go like, oh, if I meet two people and they're both from Charlotte, let's say we're in New York and I go, he's from Charlotte. They go, oh my God, cool. and they don't ask what high school. I go, why don't you ask what high school? You both are the same
age. I do that. We were in Orlando. This guy went to First Academy, and we played against him in football.
Okay, so
and
it's
we
a had football
like
a, thing for
oh,
you.
Oh, you're yellow and blue. And he's like, I am yellow and blue, and that guy's going to love me forever.
I don't even know why I asked, though, because I don't know anyone from other high schools. But the joke is that's what St. Louis is at. St. Yeah. Louisans ask is, where'd you go to high school? But what it really is about is, how much money did your parents make?
Yeah.
Like, what? That's really what you're asking with that question, which is disgusting. But St. Louis is very elitist, very...
it's like, what kind of car do you drive?
Us and them. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, but more subtle.
Yeah. What kind of car did your parents buy you when you turned 16? And like, mine was a Mercedes, 1976 Mercedes 300D. It was awesome. We called
it's
it
so
the
funny
bastard.
If you lead with Mercedes, everyone's like, what a spoiled bitch. And then you keep going. It's like, diesel. Oh, she's such a... She's
and it would
so
go like it was
every time.
And we called it the old bastard. Kirsten named it that. She was like, it's the old bastard.
What's your dad doing getting diesel if he's Mr. Recycle?
I mean, it was just an old car that we, I don't know how my dad got a deal on it or something. I don't know, a diesel on it. And yeah, so that's, and then the other St. Louis thing, as I was saying, is that we say like farty far and like, yeah, park your car on farty far. Like, it's like...
It's almost Boston.
Tad, yeah.
I got an Explorer for my first car, brand new Sport, but my stepmother drove it. They bought it like 2 months before I could drive, so every day I was on the bus, and literally almost every morning I saw her driving
past
my car, like, woo! And I was like, this... And I'm so spoiled.
Did you get a new one?
Yeah, brand new.
What?
But she got... I mean, she got it first, and... every day. I know. I was just, you know, there were kids driving BMWs
sure.
in my school.
I mean, that you were, yeah, that was yeah, not it, that impressive.
I mean, we were, my dad was a doctor, but we were in, my school literally is like millions and billionaires, like billionaires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they drive, like, so I was just like, I can't believe stepmom driving my brand new Explorer.
Did you wear uniforms?
We had to wear a tie and button down.
Were you, was it co-ed? Did you have girls too?
Yes.
I like the idea of a uniform. Noah, did you ever feel, I know that you were kind of like not into high school and wanted to just like get through it and but yes. Like I felt overwhelmed by wearing the coolest thing, looking like the girls that parents had money, like having Abercrombie and like, you know, I remember a shirt for $36 was like so much fucking money yeah. to spend on a dumb Abercrombie shirt, but like I always wanted uniforms so that we'd all just not have to deal with that. And it was based on your hair.
yeah.
Which I was also failing at. I looked like the Quaker Oats guy. Noah, what's your feeling on uniforms?
No, I mean, like, I think in high school is when I started to, like, dress a little bit better. Because I told you that all of my clothes until high school were basically, like, hand-me-downs from my cousins who were very well endowed in the chest area and I was not, so in high school I got to like dress up
finally
like a little bit freaky.
What was your like favorite outfit?
I had these Rocket Dog flip-flops that had like a black
that's your freaky.
No, it was like black like fuzzy like shiny I don't know what it's called, strap. And I used to go to the Village and get like chains and like the spike bracelets and stuff.
Yeah, okay, so you were a little bit like alternative
emo.
Gothy.
Yeah, I wasn't gothy, I was just, I don't know, like a freak or trying
yeah.
to be a freak. I
never
didn't
wanted to
either.
Get any attention for any, I didn't want anyone to be like, what is she wearing? Like, I hated getting attention for my outfit. I wanted to blend
yeah,
in.
Yeah, me too. But my mom would buy my clothes and like I had a tie that was like, had heart, like a heart on. I don't know. She dressed me how she, I never picked out, like I'd wear whatever. Like
yeah.
I really didn't, you would think wearing a tie every day. I just wanted to match, I guess.
Yeah.
But I never even thought about what I was wearing.
God, like, I wish I could go back to high school. I would just wear, because in fifth grade, before I cared what people thought, I wore like shirts that said Save the Rainforest and like had animals on them because I loved animals. I had one shirt that had different kinds of bird poop all over it because I thought it was funny. And like, I just liked
yeah.
like things that said Save the World and like had, I just liked animals. So I put animals on my shirt and it's like, then Leslie Lammers tells you one day, you wear that shirt like every day. And yeah. I didn't. I just wore rainforest shirts every day.
But it would stick
day.
Out if you wore a bird shit poop. So even if you wore it once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. She was just like, you seriously wear that shirt every day? And I was like, I kind of do. Like, I remember it had that, you know, the tree frog that that symbolized Save the Rainforest? It has those like big eyes yeah. and it's kind of like, ugh, on a leaf. And yeah, and now like all I want to wear is things that I like. So it attracts other people who, so if I wear a Taylor Swift shirt, I get to talk to the lady at Schnucks who's a little autistic who's like, I like Taylor Swift. And then I get to have interactions with other people that like the things I like.
Well, I mean, maybe bring back the rainforest stuff. I remember in like third grade, before I went to private school, I was in public school, and I still remember this photo. I had a sleeveless shirt with a cool shark and an orange, like very loud, fun clothes. I was smiling ear to ear.
Yeah.
And then I went to private school. My parents got divorced, and I just... I just started wearing dark clothes.
Like, you just lose so much of what you care about. That's why I loved when we were talking about guilty pleasures yesterday. Like, those things are so embarrassing to have that are different than the other people in your age group. Like, me liking Taylor Swift now is different than most 37-year-old women. There's a lot of me out there, but I don't come across them often. But if I cared about something that was that not acceptable at that age, I would have kept it inside. And so now it's so nice to just be like, yeah, I fucking like.
I'm trying to get back there. I bought these Hanes sweaters on Amazon. They're $9.
Yeah.
I bought them in 7 different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all I'm going to wear on the pod. I have one for each week.
Great.
And then I'm done.
Amazing.
And that's all.
How many times have I heard, and then I'm done? And then you're not done. Just stop this I'm done thing. I'll get it. Yep. He's holding up. I'll get it. Is that the sign of just stop saying what you're saying?
No.
I was reading yesterday on Reddit about ADD, and it reminded me of you. ADHD, ADD, and it was saying that, you know, one of the things is just going through hobbies very quickly, going through obsessions, like getting really into something and being like getting all the equipment for it and then abandoning it within a week and then moving on to something else. And it reminded me of you, and you're like, I've heard so many times, like, I just got these three pants. I got these three sweatshirts. Got these two new shoes. I'm done. And I'm like, and it's almost like the grocery store thing where I go, I'm going to the grocery store. You want anything? And you're like, no, I'm full. And I'm like, it's not about now. It's about late. Like, you will need other clothes later. You're not done.
I might be done.
Forever.
I mean, for a while. I've stuck with golf for 4 months now.
No, golf is a real thing.
Yeah.
For you.
No, I'm sure at one point I'll go, well, I got to start dressing more mature. But I don't I think I passed that. I look at what my dad wears. My dad wears like Yeehaw Junction, like button down. They're like the toll booth shirts.
Yeah.
Like he dresses like he wears Crocs. He just doesn't
comfort,
give a shit.
Man. I mean, that's the older you get, honestly. Just comfort.
But there's something about saying just wearing comfort where you go, you're accepting your like that you're old in a way. So I think there's like a balance of like. That's the fear, right?
What's your favorite thing a woman wears? Like your girlfriend, like what does she look best in when you're like, oh my God. Like,
I love a romper.
Although, guys love rompers. They fucking love rompers. Why?
I don't know.
Chappelle?
Yeah.
Chappelle was wearing another denim romper the other night. And I was like, I literally want that romper. It was like a feminine romper.
I love a romper. I do feel bad that you have to take it off all the way to shit.
Yesterday I was wearing one. The leopard one or the snakeskin one. I went over to Poppy.
I didn't even notice that was a... I guess that is a romper. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went over to my sister's and I didn't feel like taking it, unbuttoning it down to take it off to pee. So I pulled it to the side like a swimsuit and soaked it in urine because when you pull it to the side, like it just trickles like a cave wall. It doesn't come out like a stream. It just to the side.
You were wearing leopard like a cave woman. Wait, what? So you pull it to the side. When did it get on you when you...
When I peed. No, when I peed, because the pee doesn't come out in like a direct, it's not like I have a penis that makes it just come out of a straight hole. It like, it just, it hits other things and it like, it's spread. It's almost like, God, I don't even know how to, like when Jesus cries, like those.
It's like when you hold a hose at the end of a hose, you know, with your thumb.
Yes, there's too much blocking it. And so it'll go on the sides and you have to like really get your, you know, it was just a little bit of a mess.
How quick did you realize this?
Well, you
was
know,
it enough piss where you were like, I
had already been sweating and stuff, and I was over there, so I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, I'll just change when I get home, and that's what I did. So it was fine. But yeah, it was
a
mistake. I
like that was your last. You were wearing that because you had no laundry. Like, you had all laundry.
I know, and it looked like I was so. Oh yeah, but I did laundry. It's still all in the dryer though. We're going to a concert tonight.
Yeah, Robert Earl Cain.
Yeah, I don't know any of him, but you're a fan and.
Yeah, I became a fan of him. He's a big Texas singer-songwriter. I was introduced to him in college freshman year by this guy, Brian Vogel. And he I don't know, he liked him. And that one song, Party Goes On Forever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just
I think
chill.
If I listened to his songs 3 times today.
Yeah, you would know him.
I'll know the lyrics better than you will. And you've heard it a million times. Like, you are not a lyric guy.
No, never been. I know the last word of every
What do you do at a concert? Like, what's your body going to do tonight? Like, are you going to sway to the music? Like, what do you do when you're listening to music and you have to stand? Bye, Luigi. He just jumped down. He got tired.
I know. We're not drinking.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Like, that's kind of what I'm nervous about is, like, what do I do with my body? Because if I know the words, I'm, like, singing along, I'm dancing, and I, like, know when the beat's going to drop out. I can, like, you know, but there's nothing worse than when you don't know it and everyone else, like, stops at this one point, but you're still going because you don't know that it drops out.
Yeah, you're like, this song was only 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I like to find a nook sometimes, like, and with just my friends, and we people watch. And I kind of just can really take in the musician instead of, like, I don't want to be in the front. I don't want to be even, I don't want to be stuck at all.
Do you never want to be in the front?
Never.
Oh, I love the front. Noah, are you a front? You're like a mosh pitter.
But I don't like being in the front row because I'm terrified that someone will put the microphone in my face, and then I'll just be like,
like Usher did to me at the iHeart Awards. Oh my God, that was so embarrassing.
I can't.
Yeah, that is terrifying. And you might go, if I surround myself with positive things, I'll gain prosperity. Like, honestly, Michelle Williams
Robert
solo in
like,
The Survivor sounds like someone put a mic in her face at a concert. That is how bad it is.
Yeah, I don't want to. I love an exit. I love an exit.
I love Jeff Tweedy making eye contact with me. I love touching Nelly Furtado. I love running my hands through Adam Duritz's dreadlocks. I love John Mayer possibly looking. Like, I love being front and like I know that they, well, I don't know this, but I would imagine they get off on people being such fans that they like are singing their songs and they're mouthing the lyrics. Yeah. And like, if I'm that fan, I want to show like how excited I am and I want to be up front.
But
so,
is it about the attention you're getting from them or are you giving it to them?
No, it's like, it's just being as close as I can to brilliance and to this thing that has brought me so much joy. And also like showing them like, I appreciate you. Thank you. I am like, I hope you see how much I fucking love you. And I want to say that tonight, though, I have a goal of just observing. This guy's been around forever, right? Live performing. I mean, he's in his 60s.
Probably,
been around.
Yeah.
I want to just, as someone who's looking into getting into singing, songwriting, and performing, I want to see what things I like about. I'm going to observe the performance and the stage presence and the stage banter and things like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have really good banter. He's supposedly pretty funny. And yeah, he's going to probably show you that less is more is what I'm thinking.
Harry Styles is coming tomorrow. I kind of want to find a way
to that.
Jenny Lewis is opening for him.
What?
I know, dude. I kind of want to go.
Yeah.
Do you want to try to get tickets?
Yes.
Okay,
I
if anyone in
HS.
St. Louis can get us tickets to Harry Styles tomorrow in St. Louis, please hit us up. All right, let's get to the news.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I just keep watching him dance on stage. He just
I've got a girl crush. When he sings that song.
It's funny because it's like, would I go gay for him? It's like, no, he's way more feminine than 90% of women I've probably already fucked.
Right. I mean,
like,
he's
it's not,
so
it's probably
hot.
Less gay.
I met him once and I did not think anything of him before I met him. And then in person, I was just like, oh my God, he is just... just beautiful. Oh. He made me realize I'm probably a lesbian.
How tall is he? Tall, right? He's like,
you know,
6'1".
I'm hype blind. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you are hype blind. I'm very hype.
And he
aware.
Was like probably still growing at the point I met him. I met him in 2013. I think they were still young.
Oh yeah, he's a man now. He's gone through his like JT phase with that
Boy.
Cross tattoo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, is that when JT became a man?
Yeah, when he got the cross tattoo on his shoulder and every girl's like, oh, I'll fuck him now.
It became like Yeah.
All right, the news, baby.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
It's Tuesday, folks. Hope you're having all the swells, having a great time out there. At least I think it's Tuesday, but hey, it's Friday somewhere.
No, it's not.
Yeah, some boys.
Some schizophrenics maybe think it's Friday.
What if it's only Friday in some person's mind? That's great.
Oh, what a good life.
Bruce, a disabled Kiwi parrot, lacking his upper bill, invented a way to preen himself by using pebbles grasped between his tongue and lower bill. His unique preening behavior appears to be deliberate innovation for self-care as a direct consequence of his disability.
Wow, that is impressive. This reminds me of the Octopus Teacher, if you guys haven't seen it. What that octopus was capable of. Oh, what a sweetie. A little bird with, he looks like he has an underbite with a bird. And he uses, I get what he's doing. He's using the rock. He uses his tongue almost as the top bill. And then he probably scoops the rock so that it tugs at his feathers. And it's, what a sweetie.
And he uses a bunch of different objects. And
yeah, birds are so intelligent.
That's like when you start using, when animals start to use tools.
Yeah, it almost makes you go, why do we eat chickens? You know, it almost makes you think that maybe chickens deserve better lives than the ones we give them.
Yeah.
But you know, you like your eggs too much to that. But I like
eggs. Eggs don't turn into chickens.
Dude, chickens are in hell because they make eggs.
Oh.
So
okay,
that's,
that makes sense.
Yeah, does it? And also,
but I always thought
baby
egg,
chicks
I always
are murdered by the millions every year because they are not egg-laying hens.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, it actually, the egg industry leads to a ton of...
But I didn't know that. That's all I'm saying.
Chicken genocide.
I didn't know there were two different kind of eggs.
Right, right. Well, all you would have to do is maybe just go, what's bad about eating eggs? And then you would learn...
Farts?
That's a good point too.
Smelly farts.
Yeah.
This.
That's so sweet. I love when birds, when animals are use tools. There was this other.
And preening is cleaning itself. I didn't know what that was either.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't even know what cleaning yourself is too.
Hey, I'll preen
you. Need to look
you.
Up that part.
Preen off.
I'll get it. No, the octopus teacher. That was really interesting to me because this octopus, like, the guy that was studying him was learning things about him that he would go home and research and go, no one has any documentation of an animal doing this kind of thing. Yeah. And so animals are capable of things that we don't even know yet. And it's just so, it's
that
wild.
That octopus show, I felt emotions I haven't felt in a long
time. Honestly, I think that's why, that's a feeling that I have right here in my solar plexus that I can't let up. Like, that octopus caused something in me to, it's a Bruin, and I don't want to release it because it will make everyone's life around me hell to like, sure. to ex-
Why do I keep thinking of shit? But yes, I think
you can't watch that and argue that any animal doesn't have the capability to want comfort and is sweet. Like if an octopus can be, so, you know, if you can put so many feelings
human
and emotions into the way that, it's undeniable. It's not even like you're doing the thing where it's, what is it called when you put, humanize an animal.
Personification?
I forget what it's called. It's not that, but it's,
I think it's anthropomorphize. I don't know.
It's something about when
preening?
It's just you're like projecting like, oh, you're having no empathy because you're like, that animal is just like a human because it looks scared. So it must be scared. But it's like animals display different things. So you can't just assume. But you got to watch this because you realize it's every, this guy had an epiphany one day. He used to never have like this guy that the octopus teacher guy, he even said in it, he goes, I did not used to have a lot of empathy for animals. I just like, I didn't care. Like, yeah, I knew that they were like cute and like, he pretty much felt the way most people feel, like dogs and cats and bunnies and kittens and everything were like, oh my God. But he didn't extend it. And then something happened. He like marks the day where he was like, oh my God, like this just broke my brain. Like every animal, it is capable of this, of the of wanting to live, of like wanting to, you know, not every animal. I think there's some, like, you know, single cell organisms that don't really have feelings. But I remember the day. I remember that day for me too. Of like, whoa, what just happened? Like, my brain broke. Of like, I can't eat animals anymore. It's not like I don't want to. I can't. Like, mm-hmm. that is. And it's, I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else, but there's a moment that you can have, an awakening of sorts, where you just realize it's not, you can't do it anymore, because every animal, like even bugs, are like little.
The video that we were talking about yesterday with Michael, the flight attendant, helping Venicio, the poor old man who had Alzheimer's, who went in his pants at the airport. And just helping his wife.
Too many eggs, probably.
Okay, so let's talk about that video. It's about 6 minutes long. It was on our story yesterday. We put it up. We told you at the end of the show to go watch it. It's from a A&E reality show called Airline, I believe, that would just follow the, you know, the drama of working in the airline industry. And there is a story one day of a guy at LAX, an old man in his, like, probably late 80s, who is wheelchair-bound, and his wife, the sweet woman who is, you know, his caretaker, and they're stalled at the gate, a Southwest flight. They've been kicked off the flight because he defecated in his pants. And they go, we got to call Mike. And Mike is just, like, walking, like, hur. At first I go, I don't like this guy's walk.
Yeah,
I
was he
like,
had a weird energy at first.
Yeah, I go, I don't know that I'm going to like this guy. And then this guy just handled this situation in a way that you just, most people wouldn't. And I think most people would think they would handle it that way, but they wouldn't. You know, it's like, he not only, you know, makes this woman feel so, she's humiliated that her husband's pooped and she doesn't know what to do about it. And
it's happened before to her, it seemed like.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was, yeah.
And they just want to go home to Albuquerque. And he's like, we're going to get you home. We're going to get you on another flight. Don't you worry about that. And he goes, we got to get their luggage off the plane. And then he goes and he changes the man himself. Yeah. And he puts on gloves.
I'll help you. You don't have to say sorry.
Yeah.
You don't have to say sorry. He goes, and then he related to her, which I think helps so much when someone's going through something.
Yeah.
Of being like, my mom is sick. This is life. Oh, that was his quote. This is life, which I
You loved. Are not alone.
You don't.
You are not alone.
And he goes, this is life. And that just makes it like, that's what life is. Life is ugly. It's messy. Sometimes you got to put gloves on and wipe a guy's ass for $5.50 an hour. And yeah.
You just got to know that, like, that person doesn't want to be shitting their pants.
No.
Or, like, you just, all you have to do is go, "Would do you think this person wanted this? Like, do you think they wanted to be in this scenario?" Like, even yesterday I was over at my parents' house or at my sister's house, and my mom was talking about the, you know, the three comedians who died, or the three comic adjacent. There's one comic and then two other people. And then Kate Quigley, a comedian, four people were, like, three of them died from fentanyl in cocaine. They were all just, like, partying. And Kate Quigley, we don't even know what's going to happen with her. Thankfully, she survived. She is someone that I know and, like, am definitely pulling for. And, you know, first of all, it's got to be embarrassing that everyone now knows you've done coke and, like, you did fentanyl and you got a bad supply. And it's, like, and my mom's goes, you know, my parents are, like, they need to, you know, prosecute the dealer. Like, they need to find who the dealer was and who did this. And I'm like, do you think the dealer wants to be dealing cocaine? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't.
I can't. I'm with your parents on this one.
Honestly, I don't think anyone deals. Yes, I understand if people deal drugs when they have other options, but I think so. Our system is so broken that in order for some people to survive,
that's true.
That's the only way they're going to be able. You can't afford a one-bedroom apartment on minimum wage. And if you're a single mom or a single dad that has four kids and you're trying to clothe them and feed them, and you could either go get a job at Walgreens.
Yeah, but what if it's a young punk that's like 20 years old who's making money to buy a Maserati? Like.
Well, I bet he has shitty parents. And do you think he didn't get enough love or support, and he probably goes to a shitty school because he was born into a shitty neighborhood. It's like
no one wants
to be these things. No one wants to be a bad person. I mean, I know this is like, where does it end? It doesn't end. I can extend empathy for Trump even, because he didn't choose his fucking awful brain, and he's a bad person, but like he can't help it. He's just a terrible person, and he was born with that brain.
I just think if you knew fentanyl was in it, like if you're dealing coke, pure coke, people are having a good time, that's fine. But it, once you know that you're fucking putting fentanyl in it because it's cheaper, even though that some people might die, go fuck yourself.
Well, I don't think that, well, where I said, I get what you're saying there. Like, the person that put it in and knows the consequences, yes, we should find them and punish them so yeah. that there's an example set to other people who might do that. But I do think that just because the deal, we should, my parents just assume the dealer put it in. I go, but the dealer got it from someone.
Yeah.
So maybe it was that person. So it doesn't end. I always want my parents to know, like, if I die, don't avenge my death, because I guarantee if someone murders me, they had a fucking terrible childhood that they were probably physically abused. You know, like, murder their parents, murder their grandparents, like, whoever does the thing, like, and, you know, eye for an eye doesn't work. Like, it just, it's,
I was listening to,
I don't know, my mom was like, we gotta, no one can do drugs, no one can do coke or heroin. And my sister goes, oh, yeah, we know. She goes, no, she goes, we can't do coke or heroin, you guys, this is scary, this fentanyl. She's, we're Googling it, and she's like, my God. And I go, it's so funny to me because we're just, my sister and I are both like, why would we do coke or heroin? She goes, I don't mean us, I mean just like anyone. And I'm like, yeah, everyone kind of knows that. But she is right. Like, the fentanyl thing is out of this world.
That's how Mac Miller died. And I was listening to Michael K. Williams, who just actually passed away.
Yeah.
Who knows what was in his, I think it was heroin though, but it might have been laced with fentanyl. Who knows? He was talking about The Wire, and that's really what they wanted to show with The Wire, is that, like, no one wanted, to what you're saying, like, no one wants to be a drug dealer.
No.
And it's their environment that pushes them there. They don't wake up and go, hey, I want to fucking ruin people's
lives. No one wants to be in a gang. A lot of times they have no choice. They'll get beat up and murdered if they don't join the gang. And then you hate people for being in a gang. But it's like, if you were born, you white privileged motherfucker who thinks these people chose to be in a gang and, like, they're bad inherently, and that you would have done the same thing if you were born in their situation. So stop this whole thing of, like, I wouldn't do that if I were them. Yes, you would. It's called empathy. Realize you have a different brain, you have different parents, you have a different socioeconomic status that you were born into, and yes, you have things in your life that the gang members should empathize with. The fact that you can't fucking understand why they would be gang members, they should empathize with the fact that your brain's so fucked up that you can't have empathy. Like, we all need to extend it all the time.
If you're in a biker gang, just admit that the outfits are cute. I just love biker gangs, how tough they are, but they're all wearing leather together. I don't know. It's just so cute.
It's always funny for people who act like they don't give a shit, or they're so, like, you know, against the grain. Like even Chappelle wearing a jumper.
Yeah.
That's always my example of, like, this guy who apparently doesn't give a shit. He chose a onesie that he buttons up. That's a guy who cares. He made patches with his name on them that everyone in his entourage wears. That's a guy who cares what you think about him.
Yes.
And I think he would even admit that himself.
Even the Edge comic would say that. Okay.
Oh, Edge.
He's staying away, though, for now. He might come. Oh, yeah. Studies of regret show that people are more inclined to regret the things they don't do rather than the things they do.
Oh.
Which is interesting, because usually when you talk about regret, you're like, I fucking regret fucking doing coke that night and ending up in the ER. I regret this. But then it's not like, but then, yeah. So, like, the things you didn't do,
okay,
whether it's like, what, maybe you didn't study in college what you actually really wanted to do.
It's almost like the deathbed thing. People say they don't regret, they're what people say on their deathbed is not what they
did,
it's what they didn't do.
Like, being with family more.
Right.
Being more present. Like, all these things that, like,
if you died tomorrow, what would be a regret of yours?
Living in St. Louis. No. I'm trying to
never answering a question sincerely.
Yes. Sincerely, though. Noah, how dare you? It's the first time I've
Noah,
really
could... do you feel like, I think of regrets in my life, and I'm like,
yeah,
it's when I've hurt people that I love.
3 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Let me think. What would I regret not doing, or just in,
or believe, you know, I regret not reading a book that someone recommended to me that would have changed my perspective on something.
I probably regret not getting closer with my grandparents while they were around.
Mm.
I feel like my brother did a much better job with that.
What are you missing out on now because of that, you think?
Stories, understanding where I come from, like, why maybe I behave a certain way, why I like a certain thing, what they had to go through, struggles, which might make me appreciate more what I have.
Don't you have a grandma that's still alive? Can't you actually?
No, I wouldn't call her.
Oh, you wouldn't call her?
No. I'm just trying not to be sincere. She's 100 and she has dementia and she doesn't really know where she is.
She might have stories though, you know.
From
they're just
3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could, yeah, no, I could do that with my mom too. And I don't do it.
Yeah. Regretting what you, yeah, I guess my regret is what I've done. It's not what I haven't done. So I'm trying to think of what I haven't done that I regret. And it's, probably
be on
like,
SNL?
No, it wouldn't be like that. It would be like, I regret not apologizing. For things, like the other day, I apologized to someone that I felt like I had wronged before, and I was able to reach out and, like, because I thought, like, what if I
die? What made you want to do that? And how long ago was
that? We were, like, talking about this person, and I knew that I had, like, past beef with them, and I was just like, this person I actually really respect, and I was able to see through their work that they've been through a lot of struggle and that their life isn't... I was able to empathize with the person and be like, whatever I assumed about this person, they actually are extremely, they have their own story, what brought mm-hmm. them to however I judged them. And
how did they react?
They accepted it and were like, thank you. And then it was just like good to go. So the next time I see this person, it's not going to be weird. And it's just, I don't expect to be best friends or like, you know, chummy every time we see each other. But now I just took accountability for being a twat, you know? And
did they feel like you were an actual twat or was it more in your head? Like, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes when you're like, I gotta owe that person an apology and they must be thinking about this or
no,
it must be.
They thought I was a twat for sure. Yeah. They did. And they should have. Like I, you know, it was, that was one that was, you know, I went ahead and did only because I was like, I would regret this if I died and that never got tied up. Or they died. And also because I was exposed to some of their work that let me in a little bit more and showed me the struggle that that person came from. And I just was like filled with a lot of love for that person and like, wow, thank you. They shared something really vulnerable. That person isn't what I thought. And yeah. I shouldn't make assumptions about people ever. And it's so hard not to do. And Noah, what about you?
The thing that comes to mind is, I guess I wish that I wasn't such like a hermit. In my 20s, I was so, I don't know, like antisocial, and I had a lot of like fun opportunities that I could have made more of. That's my regret.
I got invited to go to the Grateful Dead concert last night. And John Mayer is like Dead and Company. John Mayer is there. And I turned it down because I just didn't feel like standing all night. I'm going to the concert tonight. And I turned it down and I wrote the person later being like, I really regret I didn't go. I really regret it because it would have been fun. I haven't been to that venue in a while. It's now named something. It's named like the American Casino Stages. And I thought it was like going to be some casino like venue indoors, but it's Riverport. It's the place I went to go see Dave Matthews as a teen. Like it would have been nostalgic. But then I reasoned that there was a reason I didn't go. And the reason is that I could have been in a car crash there or like on the way there or the way back. Like who knows what I avoided?
You just needed rest.
I needed to watch a 9/11 documentary with you and learn how we got to a place where the Taliban hated us.
And then we put on Scenes from Marriage and I was like, this
Scenes
is
from
worse
a marriage.
Than 9/11.
Scenes from Marriage. Oh my God, that
intense.
I kind of liked it. I can't wait for the next episode. Actually, all right, we'll take a short break and come back with Why Do I Care?
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease.
Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life. You know that.
His business is failing. His house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Why do I care?
All right. Why do I care, Andrew?
This is big news. Are you sitting?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at me.
I don't know. I thought you could be floating. You sure?
I'm okay. Sitting.
All right. Kanye West follows Kim Kardashian back on Instagram.
I haven't heard this. Usually I know what's going on with Why Do I Care. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the big thing, I guess, with celebrities now is when you know it's really over is they unfollow.
That's been a while.
Or their assistant does. But yeah.
All right. Well, you know, that is the mother of his children. Someone pointed out the other day on De Moi subreddit that there's an interest. They go, what's like an interesting fact you've realized about celebrities that no one's noticed? And someone said that all of the Kardashians only have babies with one man.
Oh.
Even when they're not like actually on good terms. Like there's something about that family that goes, we're not going to, except the mother. I mean, obviously, Robert Kardashian died, so she couldn't do, so she went over to
Wait, were they divorced before he died?
Yes.
Oh.
I believe so, yes.
I don't know. I'm not, like, trying to quiz you. I'm just...
I think they were, but you know, Chloe had a baby with...
Tristan.
Thompson. Yeah, two different babies, I think. And then Kylie is now having another baby with... her baby daddy, but there's speculation that they aren't really on good terms. Scott Disick, that guy, like, that's an interesting thing that I would have never put together. So I think that Kim will maybe continue to have babies with Kanye, even if they don't have a
working relationship. Like 3 or 4, right?
Saint, Chicago, North. Maybe 3. And then another one, maybe, that they did surrogacy. I don't know. But what I do know is... yeah, I mean, that doesn't... She was, like, promoting Donda and, like, kind of celebrating him a lot. So I don't know that they're over. But Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't care. I really don't care. You know what I did like was Machine Gun Kelly. Did you see his lyrics that he posted to that he performed at the VMAs?
About being a daddy?
No, he was talking about, like, he's like, I'm a genius. I could have made Donda.
Wrote Donda, but I made this for my dead father.
Yeah. He to say that, to make a claim that he could have done. I haven't listened to Donda, have you?
I listened to some of it. It's a little Jesus-y for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do love his last album, which we've listened to a ton.
Yeah.
You know, and then Reborn was a great song. The one he did with Kid Cudi, the Kid See Ghosts. But I don't know. It's getting a little preachy. It's like they're starting, and Bieber does it too. There's like a line between, like, when has it become too much Christian rock?
But I don't even think Kanye thinks, I think he thinks he's Jesus. There's no way that Kanye will think that someone's better than him, even Jesus, I feel. So it's weird to me that he would even uphold a guy. Like, I don't know. I feel like Kanye thinks he's Jesus. And that's a common thing for people with his mental illness condition to think.
Well, I think there's like,
but I haven't heard Donda. I don't know anything about
people
it.
People become like very like strictly religious after they've maybe had a lot of past like bullshit that they've done or past like mistakes, and so they go the other way.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It's they find God, and Jesus forgives, and so all of the things that you've done, like, it just, it's such a nice thing when you do. You know, I found God too, not Jesus, but God, and like, it does, like, I was talking to my friend last night, and I was lamenting about, you know, boy stuff, and she was just like, well, God has God's going to take care of it. It's all going to, and it was just like, oh, good. I don't have to fucking worry. Like, for whatever reason, it just makes you not, there's so much of what we do, so much of the bad that comes in the world, I think, is from shame and feeling like you're responsible for the way you act and what you do. And my sense of God is no free will, like whatever I was born into, like it's just going to happen. It's already going to happen. It's already in place. I don't get to pick how I think.
Like, your God, there should be like a different word for it, because like when I think God, I think religion. And what you're talking about seems like a higher
power. Yeah, that's what it, well, that's what I mean by God.
Without having any,
it's not like an entity. I just believe like there's something it's not in my control. Mm-hmm. And when I lose control, I can calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like when I used to be sleepless for weeks because of nuclear war, and I saw a movie The Day After Tomorrow in eighth grade, and it ruined my life because I was like, any second I could just turn into a flashing skeleton, and like we are like gonna live in a world where there's no electricity and famine, and we all have sores on our faces. It was like I just couldn't handle it. And then one day went down to my parents' room, eighth grade, gonna sleep on their floor, and I was like, Mom and Dad, I like cracked open the door because I was always scared that they were gonna have sex, or I'd be walking into them having sex. And I was just like, my dad just goes, what? And I was just like, I just can't sleep. I can't stand the fact that there could be a nuclear war. Like someone could press a button and then we could all evaporate. And he's like, there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. And I just shut the door and went to bed for the rest of my life. Like I never thought about it again because he took away my sense of control, which I never had. It's an illusion anyway that you have control over anything.
Do you think like Trump's dad was like, you're going to handle the codes one day? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting that your dad.
But that's what God does.
Dad went that way.
God, but the idea of God takes away the sense of control you think you have. Because when you think you have control, it might make you feel like you feel better. But it actually makes you feel worse because when things go wrong, you are to blame. You're fundamentally wrong. Something you did. You're a bad person.
I feel that so much these days, especially on stage. Like, I feel like such a relief for some reason of like not caring what the audience, like what I think they'll think is funny.
Right.
And it's just like, and it's the same thing in life. It's like, don't do things because you think that person's going to react a certain way to you. Do it because that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Like, if I bomb now and I remember God, I just remember like, this was meant to happen. Like I never had a choice to not bomb. Well, you could have prepared more. No, I couldn't have. That was part of the plan too. Yeah. Well, why does John Mulaney get to be always so funny and successful and never not prepare? Because that's his plan. It's not yours. Like, that's what God had in store for him, not what he had in store for you. He also has a lot of bullshit in store for John Mulaney that you can project a lot of perfection onto him. But, you know,
yeah.
So that's what I always... I try to remember it's not my fault. Everything is not my fault. Literally anything that happens. And yeah, so that's how I feel about it. Let's get to the Reddit dump. But it's hard to remember. God damn it, is it hard to remember that things aren't my fault.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump. All right, so this is where I go on Reddit at night. You guys get it. And I save things that I want to share with you. Okay, this was from Ask Reddit, my favorite subreddit, that said, what makes you the happiest? What gives you genuine happiness? And I just want to read some of the answers that people had, because these are always the ones that make me happy. Someone said, seeing people enjoy food that I cooked, especially seeing my fiance smile when she eats my from scratch chocolate chip cookies. I would never get enjoyment from that. Like, cooking and then feeding someone. It's just, I'm so glad that people have enjoyment from things that would bring me zip.
I do love when someone makes their cookies and they go, how are the cookies? They do.
Or what about when they go, am I a good golfer?
Am I a good golfer?
Yeah. Same thing.
Is the cookies good that I made out of golf course?
This person said, I think it may be the only time I'm ever genuinely happy when I am in that state of going to sleep where I think, but at the same time, I am neither asleep nor awake. It feels like I'm entirely detached from the physical world, free of fear and pain. And someone wrote, and this is the most upvoted comment on the whole thread, someone replied to that, don't try heroin. And everyone goes, yeah, if you love that feeling, if you resonate with that, don't fucking touch heroin, because you'll never stop. Someone said, watching my cat get stuck somewhere stupid, then yelling for help. The best place so far was in a cabinet over the stove. Being outside with no people around. Live in a city and I get up super early and just walk around before everyone else is out. Best part of my day.
Yeah.
So those were nice. Someone said, this is from White People Twitter. This was a tweet that I enjoyed. It said, it's 1990. This is from Limitless Jest on Twitter. Limitless Jest. It's 1998. You have a Nintendo 64 with GoldenEye. You just ordered pizza with extra cheese. Your friends are coming over and you have 4 Rumble Packs. You don't know it right now, but this is as good as life will ever get. And I just I don't relate to that, but I relate to the cheese pizza. Friends coming over. It's 1998. I remember being like, I would witness adults and go, that sucks. Yeah. This is it.
You just get some star crunches with your friends.
You eat with abandon. There's no I'm going to feel fat tomorrow. There's no, and I'm not assuming that kids don't feel that way. I didn't in 1998, not yet at least. But I saw this video yesterday on Instagram. On the reels thing, the TikTok-y thing on Instagram. And there was this little girl crying in her, she's probably 4, and she's just like, I don't want to be an adult. And she's crying, she's sobbing because someday she has to be an adult. And her mom goes, I don't want to be an adult either. She goes, you have to. She goes, I don't even want to be a teenager. It just feels like a jail. It looks like a prison. And it was so.
How is that kid so aware, dude? That's an older person inside. That's
what I used to say. I used to wake up in the middle of the night and go into my parents' room and go, I don't know how to write a check. When am I going to learn that? How am I going to learn that? I used to freak out. This was probably 4th grade. And my parents go, you'll learn it. And I go, is there a class about how to write checks? Because I have no idea how I'm going to do that. And guess what? I still don't know how to write. I don't know how to balance a checkbook or anything like that.
Venmo's there.
Okay, this one's good. This is on Ask Men. What is the most shallowest deal breaker that you hold secretly? This person says, I'll go first and say, and I say with no disrespect, piercings. Just can't think of anyone who I found attractive when they had piercings.
Any piercing?
I think they mean anything beyond
ears. Yeah.
Someone, corpse manufacturer, says, really nasal voices. I'm fine with almost everything from Morgan Freeman to those really squeaky and childish tones. But the moment you start talking like a basic bitch from 2000s bad TV teen movies, I'm out. I feel really ashamed. Most people can't help it, but I'm unable to take people seriously with it. Someone said how loud they chew food. Someone said gum to tooth ratio. If there's too much gum, I can't.
Yeah, I can't either, actually.
Really?
That's something that gets to me for some reason.
a gummy smile, like little teeth and too much gums?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I only have gum, so I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's a little bit hypocritical.
Yeah, gay. Look, I'm just telling. I'm being
Someone
honest.
Said, I took this one personally, fake tan obsession. Yes, it's shallow, but it's a look I personally do not find attractive in any way. Well, I guarantee you that person would like me more when I'm tan than pale.
But only for 4 days of that tan.
Yeah. Someone said weird knees. You can be a straight dime, but if your knees are weird, then I'm
Everyone
out.
Everyone has weird knees.
I know. Mine look like they have African elephants on them.
Yeah, or some people have babies inside their knees. It's like souls of dead people.
Yeah, someone said, yeah, that's so true. Dragon talon nails, someone said. If they scrape their cutlery against the plates when they eat, or they bite the cutlery when eating. Someone said, Audi belly buttons. Someone goes, y'all don't understand the word shallow. Shallow is not people who smell awful or have horrible personalities. Shallow is not dating women with big noses or eczema or tattoos or something. Someone says, if you leave toast crumbs in the butter, I'm fucking out the door.
Whoa. Toast crumbs in the butter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to date that person.
What do you have any? You said gums.
Like physical things or more,
I mean, shallow stuff shallow. That they probably can't control.
I mean, it's shallow, but I'm getting over it. But when a woman has like a happy trail, a little like three hairs, I zone in on them and I don't know why.
What does it mean to you?
That I'm about to blow a guy.
Oh, it's a masculine to you? Maybe?
No, I don't, I guess so. Maybe, yeah. It's just for some reason, but I'm kind of getting, I'm very close to over all those like shallow things, at least, or getting closer. It's not getting worse with age. It's me understanding more later on. What about no chin? You don't.
Let's
like
get
no-
into final thought. The thing about no chin is I thought that was one of my deal breakers, but the thing is I've fallen in love with someone who just didn't really have the, had a... Yeah, but it wasn't like I just realized now I can be in love with anything. Like, I just don't have any physical deal breakers. Certainly when I'm just bumbling or something, I'm just like, ugh, blech, 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 like anything like that. But, you know,
in real life.
Yeah, someone that like I don't know what my deal breakers are. It's honestly, someone with like that's too fit, like that spends too much time at the gym. That's too, that eats
gym culture.
Grilled chicken and asparagus and like just, you know.
Breaks it up during the week.
Yeah, I just don't want to, I don't need, I just beat my eating disorder. I don't want to have to beat yours too. Some guy that, you know.
What about bald? You don't mind bald.
People that, you know, anyone that, that's not shallow, but like voting for Trump or being friends with people that like tolerate, not. Bald doesn't. No, that's not. Doesn't bother me. I guess like when people.
What about facial hair, mustache?
Not being open to being vegan, and that's not shallow. Actually, that's just like I don't. If someone just is like, I'll never do it. It's just like, or they like don't see that it's wrong. Like,
yeah.
Just acknowledge that like I'm right. You know. In that scenario, like, there's just no doubt about it. That's what I always say about being vegan. That's the best part about it is there's no way we're not right. That's the best part. You don't have to agree with us, but there's just no way we're not right that we just like want animals to live. It cannot be argued.
Yeah.
Against. But I'm trying to think of deal breakers. Do you have any, Noah? I just lost half of our listeners, by the way, by saying that.
I'll get them back. There's nothing better than a nice cheeseburger overlooking Nebraska. The back of the truck.
I'm going to put on my tank top.
Get it.
I try to be tolerant, and I can't really think of anything shallow that would be a deal breaker today, but I used to be obsessed with guys with long hair, and then I dated one, and his hair routine was way too long and way too specific, and that turned me off so much.
It's like the gym thing. Yeah,
after that I just couldn't date guys with long hair anymore. And I mean long hair, not shoulder, like long hair.
Oh like bass player for a heavy metal band.
Yes. Like down to the butt.
And they
hair.
Like so did they condition it? Would you have to blow dry it? They don't even blow dry their hair.
Would you
just
have to
like,
put it back to eat you out? Like, I like the idea of a guy.
That's a happy trail. Oh yeah, like if you put his hair in a ponytail, would you start getting wet? Because you knew he was about to. That's what guys like. There's a Pavlov's dog response that guys get boners when girls put up their ponytails because it's so generally. True. That's so funny. I never put up my hair to blow someone.
Really? What do you do with it?
I just like.
You have a lot of hair now.
I just go like this, and I like kind of go like twist it or
and
something,
it'll stay up.
Or I just like blow them with my. Oh, I guess if they're laying
but then the
down,
hair will get in your mouth and everything.
I just like.
Oh, if you're things. Yeah, yeah. If I'm on my back, your hair will get in your own mouth and. No?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really think about it. I never, like, put it back. But, yeah. I'm trying to think of deal breakers I have. Jesus Christ. That's a hard one. Because you don't even know it till you see it. But I think that, oh, not liking Veep. Like, yeah. Being, like, it's watching Veep or 30 Rock and being like, no. It's just, like, yeah, to each their own. But your own, you have a bad own.
I mean, on the same thing, if you love, like, Law & Order or CSI, I probably
oh, my God.
Like you.
This one, oh, really? That's every girl, dude. What the fuck?
Hey, well, you're dead to me.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, like, if you probably love those shows, you probably don't love Veep.
No, that's not true. People love those shows.
I'd like
shows.
To see a diagram of
no.
people that love, like,
people love those
Boardwalk
shows.
Empire.
The smartest people love Law & Order.
Really?
True. Oh, yeah. Like, most...
Maybe I haven't given it a chance.
John Mulaney's bit about Law & Order.
Should it's I like, try Law & Order?
You would be obsessed with it, dude. I mean, I don't like it but because I just I don't really care. I just have never gotten into it, but people I respect love it. This one is a great one on Reddit. It's from Cringetopia, the subreddit Cringetopia. It's just cringy things. And this is a TikTok. The girl says, this dude at the bar trying to pick up my friend with his Wells Fargo account. So he pulled up his app to show his bank account. Now, look at this. You just lost your life. 92,826. He repeats it to her and he goes, she's just like, no. And he goes, well, you just lost in life.
It's also like not even like fuck you money. Like I love that that's like.
And you know that
I mean,
his dad, someone
it's
in his
just...
life just died and he got that and took it to like this wasn't just earned throughout hard work. This guy oh. just. Because he's just so excited to have that. That is so, I love it so much. It's
there
so
was
funny.
Something about having to go to the ATM all the time, like only like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you'd always see what's Sorry. In your bank. Every day you're reminded of whether you're rich or poor. You
oh
know what I
God.
Mean? Like every day you look down on that piece of paper and you're like, ugh. And then I saw like my.
Oh, I would always say, no, I don't want to see it.
Oh,
I would click no.
You wouldn't
you know
want the paper receipt?
Never.
Because of recycling or just because?
No,
because
I didn't want to see it. I mean, even now, if I have money, I don't. I used the only time I was able to look at my bank account ever when I was super broke. And even now, but I don't drink anymore, was when I was drunk. I would sometimes go in and go, okay, you can see it.
Oh, okay.
I was so
You'd
scared
have to
of that
just
number.
To see your savings account?
Yeah.
Did you haven't looked at it? There's something about the tangibleness of it is be like, oh, yeah, that's money. Like. Because money's, you know, when you feel actual cash, which we never do anymore.
Yeah. But that number, yeah, sometimes I see the number and I go, you know, because I so rarely look at it, sometimes it really disappoints me because it's I thought it was higher. Or
yeah.
And sometimes I just don't know that there's other accounts that have stuff in it. Like there, I will say there are people that know what my money is. And those people are making sure that it's not stolen from me. But man, if those people weren't in my life, wouldn't notice. I would never notice.
Yeah.
It's really, it's a problem. It's like, you know, that's something
well,
this
that. Is how like rich people get money stolen from them.
Yeah. I mean, and then there are other people that are like very, they know every, I bet like your brother, even though he has a lot of money, I bet he knows where all of it is and how much it is. Like, I bet he's fastidious about it. Whereas I just don't, I don't want to know if I have it or don't. Like, I just, it stresses me out if I do, it stresses me out if I don't. It's, I really got to work on it. It's not good.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that we put so much emotion on a number, you know, or like.
And I'm so much, I love spending, I like spending money on people better than myself. Like, I'll buy myself cheap stuff and my, like, birthday gifts. Presents. It's always like the most expensive brand because yeah. I want people in my life to have the best of the thing. But I always get
but if
like
you don't want that. What makes you think they want that?
Because people do want the best thing.
I just want 10 more Hanes colors.
No, would you rather me get you a Hanes sweatshirt or a, you know, Buck Mason?
To be honest, where I'm at right now mentally,
yeah.
Give me 4 Hanes over 2 bucks.
No, it's either it's not the same amount of money. I'm either spending a lot of money or not.
I think I'd rather have the Hanes. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
I think at this point,
all right. Well,
now,
message received.
But in a month,
42nd birthday,
I'll take a Tesla. A cheap one.
Tesla keychain. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't be cut out there and
jack off.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.